الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class discussing the issue about al-bay, and that is the fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling, is that it is permissible, and this is something that is established in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his statement, Subhana wa ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba, and Allah, he has allowed and made permissible buying and selling, and he has forbidden al-riba. And likewise in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many narrations, and we will take them in the work here that we're studying inshaAllah, Umdat al-Ahkam, and all of these narrations indicating the legislation and the permissibility of buying and selling, and likewise the consensus of the Ummah about the permissibility of buying and selling. And this is the fundamental principle with regards to the issue of al-bay', that it is mubah, that it is lawful, and that it is permissible. And we have seen a number of benefits with regards to understanding this principle. So with regards to this, the question would not be what is allowed to buy and sell, what are the contracts that are permissible. Rather, the question will be what are the contracts that are impermissible, and what are the affairs that are forbidden with regards to buying and selling. Because the origin is that it is lawful. So that means the majority of the contracts and the issues related to buying and selling are lawful and permissible. As for that which is forbidden, then it is numbered. So for this reason, you'll find in the books of fiqh and the books of hadith, al-ahkam, the chapter with regards to al-buyu' al-manhi anha, the anwa' al-buyu' al-manhi anha, the types of transactions that are forbidden, and this is similar to what has preceded in the book of al-hajj. If we remember, whenever a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yalbasu al-muhrim. Ma yalbasu al-muhrim. What is it allowed for the muhrim, the one in the state of ihram, to wear? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded in the contrary. It's not allowed for him to wear this or to wear this or to wear this. And he didn't inform him of what is lawful, because to inform of what is lawful to wear would include a number of things. So in order to inform of what is lawful for the muhrim to wear, this would include a number of things that would take a long time to mention by number and in detail. And that's because the origin is that it's lawful for him to wear that which he likes, but that which he's forbidden from, this is what is numbered, and this is what is restricted, and this is the manner in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded to this question. So similarly like that as well, the origin with regards to al-bay' is that it's lawful. So there's only certain aspects that are impermissible. So by learning those aspects, a person, he will be able, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to buy and sell and to do business upon insight. So the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to the al-buyu' al-muharrama, or al-mu'amalat al-muharrama, the type of business transactions that are forbidden. أنها ترجع إلى ثلاثة أصول المعاملات المحرمة ترجع إلى ثلاثة أصول. That the forbidden transactions, the type of commerce and business and trade that is forbidden and not allowed, they return back to three fundamental principles. The first one, الربا بأنواعه الثلاثة. الربا بأنواعه الثلاثة. So these forbidden, the forbidden aspects of buying and selling, they have fundamentals. And all of these different aspects, they go back to three fundamentals. The first one is al-riba, which we translate to mean interest, but we have seen that it has a number of different meanings. And in general, al-riba lahu anwa' thalatha. It has three different types, riba al-fadl, and riba al-nasi'a, and riba al-qard, and riba al-qard. Riba al-fadl, this is an increase, and this is interest, taking interest. And riba al-nasi'a, this is delaying payments. It's the type of interest that will occur in delaying payments, even if there's no increase in wealth. And also the riba that occurs by way of loan. by way of loans. And these issues, all of them, they have details. Inshallah, they will come in our discussion in this chapter. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. The second fundamental, from the fundamentals of the impermissible transactions, al-jahala. Al-jahalatu wal-gharar. Al-jahala wal-gharar. Al-jahala means something is unknown, something is unclear. The item that is being sold is not known, distinguished, and clarified in a clear manner. Or the amount is not known. Or if there is a term, if there's a term with regards to receiving the item or paying the debt, so on and so forth. These affairs, they must be known. There can be no jahala. So the forbidden contracts, they're going to go back to this issue here. Likewise, jahala and al-gharar. Al-gharar, and there are many different aspects that are included in this, many different individual issues that return back to the issue of jahala. Jahala is from jahl. Jahl, and not knowing the true reality of the item being sold, or the amount being paid, or the term that is agreed upon in the contract, and the likes like this. There cannot be any jahala. These affairs, they must be known. And likewise, al-gharar. Al-gharar, it means al-khatar. Al-mukhatara, that a person is taking risks because of unknown factors. So in buying and selling, no doubt, from the aspects of buying and selling is that there is risk. And a person, he will profit, and possibly he will lose, and possibly he will break even. And a person is going to get into business, and there's a possibility. He's not guaranteed to make profit. And he's not safe from losing his capital. And maybe he will break even. Maybe he'll break even. So it's hoped whenever one does business that he will make profit and that the profit will be beneficial. But this is something that's not guaranteed. So that is found in the issue of business. No doubt about that. But whenever one starts doing business with things that are unknown or things that are uncertain or things that are not clear, now the hazards and the dangers become severe. And this is not allowed. And this is not allowed. So many different aspects that will come here just so that we can understand one aspect. Someone will say, I'll sell you that bird in the tree. I'll sell you that bird in the tree. You say, what bird? That bird up there in the tree, I'll sell it to you for $100, for example. And some, there's possibility he can grab it, possibility he cannot grab it, possibility maybe it'll get away, maybe he'll get a different one, not the one that he's pointing to, so on and so forth. It's not certain, it's not sure that he will be able to obtain that bird. To obtain that bird, so I'll sell you the fish in the sea. So what fish? You know, the one that's this big and this type, and it's in the sea. It's in the water, in the ocean, So it's not certain that he's going to be able to get that. So will he be able to obtain that or not? This is a risk, and Allah knows best if he will be able to. Maybe he will. Maybe he will not be able to. Maybe he'll get a different type of fish. Maybe he'll come up empty-handed. So this is a type of gharar. And jahala, this is the type of risk that one is will take here. This is not allowed. So there are many aspects of this, many individual issues that go back to this principle, the issue of al jahala wal gharar. The third issue, or the third principle, is al khida' wa taghrir, deception. Al khida' wa taghrir, deception and being dishonest. Deception and being dishonest. And many of these rulings and legislative rights with regards to buying and selling is in order to forbid oppression and also to cut off any complaints and arguments and disputes. If a person, he were to agree to buy the bird in the tree, and then the man, he's not able to get it and he already paid for it, there's going to be a dispute here. There's going to be a problem here. Now they're going to be arguing in the likes like this. Or if he bought a fish in the sea and he came back with the wrong fish that he was expecting, for example. Or he came back empty-handed. There's going to be disputes here. There's going to be arguments here. There's going to be falling out here. And this could lead to things even more severe than that, like bloodshed or even the loss of life. But at bare minimum, the hearts will turn against each other because of these business transactions. So many of these impermissible transactions, from the wisdom of that, is to prohibit oppression and likewise to keep the hearts sound from having animosity and rancor against each other and from violating the rights of one another. In any case, it goes back to these three principles. Al-riba, عند الجهالة والغرر عند الخداع والتقرير. الخداع والتقرير. التقرير. Again, from our introductions that we discuss in this chapter, the chapter of al-buyu' is the issue of shurut. شروط البيع. شروط البيع. شروط is the plural of شرط. It means condition. It means condition. The word شرط, it means condition. And the plural is شروط. شروط, conditions. So what we're discussing now is شروط البيع. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that الشرط لغة إلزام الشيء والتزامه. إلزام الشيء والتزامه. والتزامه is a condition. A condition is whenever a person, he will set a requirement and he'll make it an obligation to uphold. And it must be upheld. This is considered a condition. A person, he will say, I will agree to do something with this condition, meaning with this requirement here that must be upheld. That must be upheld. I'll give you this much money for this condition, for example. I'll do this for you for this condition. Or you can have this or that, but with this condition. So the condition, it has the meaning of making a requirement, setting a requirement, and that requirement must be upheld. And that requirement must be upheld. You need, this is linguistically. It also has the meaning of ta'liq, to attach the outcome of something to the fact that something else is established, to the fulfillment of a requirement, to attach the outcome of something to the fulfillment of a specific requirement. Meaning that if that requirement is fulfilled, then a person, he'll get the outcome that is promised. But if he failed to fulfill that requirement, then the outcome will not be as mentioned. It will be contrary. So the people of Nara, as they say, شَرْطُ إِسْتِلَاحٍ مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ عَدَمُ الْمَشْرُوطِ وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وُجُودٌ وَلَا عَدَمُ لِذَاتِهِ مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ عَدَمُ الْمَشْرُوطِ. And in the condition, a condition is something that if it's not present, then the thing that the condition is set for is not present likewise. It's not present likewise. So if you set a condition for something, and then somebody did not fulfill that condition, then that thing will not be brought, or will not be established. It will not be established because he did not fulfill the condition. Because he did not fulfill the condition. وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وُجُودٌ وَلَا عَدَمُ لِذَاتِهِ. But it does not necessitate the fact that the condition is present, that that thing or that ruling will be present or not. And by itself, not by itself. Any of the people of Nara, as they mentioned, for example, from the conditions of the correctness of salah is tahara. So if a person, he didn't make tahara, then his salah is not correct. But if he made tahara, does it mean that his salah is correct by itself? No, because maybe he didn't pray in the right time, for example. Maybe there's other conditions that he also has to fulfill likewise. So just because he has the shart, just because he brought the condition, doesn't necessitate that that action, that the condition is set for, will be correct by itself. Will be correct by itself. But it is a condition for the correctness of that action. For the correctness of that action. Because from the correctness of the salah is that one, he must have tahara. So if a person, he didn't have tahara, then his salah will not be correct. Because tahara is a condition from the conditions of salah. But if he had tahara and he prayed salah, this condition alone does not necessitate that the salah is correct. Because salah has other conditions likewise that must be fulfilled. So maybe a person, he'll have tahara and he will pray salah and his salah will still not be correct because he did not fulfill another condition. So al-hukm la yatim al-hukm hatta, the ruling will not be established until all of the conditions are present and all of the prohibitors are lifted likewise. And all of the prohibitors are lifted likewise. So this is a condition, the one condition. So many times we'll find that these issues in the religion, there one issue will have a number of conditions, like the issue of al-bay'. It has seven conditions. So this is the issue of the condition. It has to be present. If it's not present, then that thing is not correct. But if it is present, it doesn't necessarily mean that that thing is correct because there are other things to observe along with the fact that that one condition is present, So the people of Nara, as they mentioned, barakallahu fikum, with regards to shurut fi kitab al-buyu', nu'ani. The conditions in the chapter of buying and selling is two types. Conditions in the chapter of buying and selling are two types. The people of knowledge, they mention al-shurut al-shar'iyyah wa al-shurut al-ja'liyyah. Al-shurut al-shar'iyyah wa al-shurut al-ja'liyyah. Their legislative conditions and their conditions that the buyer or the seller, one of them or both of them will set themselves. One of them or both of them will set themselves. So al-shurut al-shar'iyyah, these are the conditions that are set by the legislation for the correctness and the authenticity of the transaction, meaning that it's correct and it's lawful and permissible. Meaning that it's correct and lawful and permissible. These are called shurutu al-bay'. Shurutu al-bay', conditions of buying and selling. Conditions of buying and selling. They're also known in this chapter as al-shurutu al-shar'iyyah, the legislative conditions. The legislative conditions. The other type of conditions, they're known as al-shurut al-ja'liyyah. Shurut al-ja'liyyah. These are conditions that the people in the contract, the buyer and the seller, both of them will agree upon. Both of them they will set and agree upon, or one of them will set and agree upon. So these are conditions not set by the legislation, but rather set by those involved in the transaction. Rather set by those involved in the transaction, and these are called al-shurut al-ja'liyyah, or they're called shurutun fil bay', shurutun fil bay'. They're conditions in buying and selling. So there's difference between conditions of buying and selling and conditions that are in buying and selling. So there's a difference between shurutul bay' wa shurutu fil bay', wa shurutu fil bay'. To summarize, there are conditions that are set by the legislation to clarify the requirements for the correctness and the proper buying and selling, the proper transaction, and for the correctness of the contract and the permissibility and the goodness of that. And then there are other conditions that are not set by the legislation, rather they're set by the individuals that one of them or both of them will find in their best interest, and they will set them any according to what they agree upon. So what we're discussing now in this portion here is shurutu al-bay', shurutu al-bay', or al-shurut al-shar'iyyah. We're discussing now the conditions of buying and selling, the legislative conditions that determine the correctness of the transaction, of the transaction. Is the transaction considered lawful and legally correct according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, or is it contrary? So here we have the issue of the aqd. The aqd, it means a contract. So the aqd or the contract, the business contract, it can either be sahih or it can be batil. It can be sahih, it can be correct. It can be correct and considered proper according to the legislation of Allah, according to that pleasure of Allah, or it can be contrary to that. So these are the conditions for the correctness of the contract legislatively. What's the difference between these two conditions? What's the difference between al-shurut al-shar'iyyah wa al-shurut al-ja'liyyah? Al-ja'liyyah. Al-ja'liyyah. Min ja'ala. So the shurutu shar'iyyah, these are ones that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarified by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And al-shurut al-ja'liyyah, these are set by the person, by the individual, who either the ba'i' or the mushtari, or both of them, be either from one of them or from both of them. So if there is a contract that is void of a shart min shurut al-shar'iyyah, what's the ruling for the contract? If there's a contract that's void of one condition from the conditions, the legislative conditions, then the contract is invalid. The contract is invalid. Do you understand? So every valid contract in Islam, according to the legislation, must fulfill these shurut al-shar'iyyah. they must be present. But what if there is a contract and there are absolutely no shurut ja'liya whatsoever? It's correct, right? Because it's not a condition for them to make a condition, right? It's because this is the shurut ja'liya. These are conditions that an individual who is buying or selling the item was set for his best interest. He was set for his, I'll buy the car from you, but for the condition that you let me pay you next year. For example, I'll buy the car from you, but with the condition you let me pay you next year. So this is a valid condition. Or with the condition you let me pay you over a period of so many months in different portions, a different amount. This is a condition. I'll sell you my car with the condition you let me ride it, you let me drive it for a month until my car is fixed. For example, this is a condition. And the best interest of the one selling it. So this is the issue here of a shurut ja'liyyin. These are the conditions that an individual, the one who is buying the item or the one who is selling the item, both of them will set in their best interest in the contract. There's details with regards to this, and that will come inshallah in the classes likewise. But right now we want to see the difference between these affairs, because we're not discussing these type of conditions right now. We're discussing the shurut al-shar'iyyah. They're the legislative conditions that must be present for the authenticity and the correctness, for the validity, for the contract to be valid. So that means every business contract, it must have a shurut al-shar'iyyah. But not every contract has to have shurut jari. That has to have shurut jari. And this is from the differences of these affairs. And as the Sheikh Shamsuddin, he mentioned, another difference is that ashurut al-shar'iyyah, they're established and set in place by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarified by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for the shurut al-ja'liyyah, then they're set in place by the buyer and the seller, or both of them. By the buyer or the seller, or both of them. And also the difference is that the shurut al-shar'iyyah, there's a general encompassing benefit for them. That's why they're legislated. That's a general, maslaha amma. That's why they're established in this manner, and they must be present in every contract. As for ashurut al-ja'liyyah, then this is the maslaha khassa. This is for a specific, this is the best interest of a specific person. And in the best interest of the buyer himself, or the seller himself, or both of them themselves. So this is from the difference of these two affairs. So which ones are we going to discuss? Ashurut al-shar'iyyah, the legislative conditions. Yani shurut al-siha, shurut sihati al-bay, the conditions for the correctness of the transaction. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that there are seven. I can mention them in very brief detail. The first one is at taradi. The taradi bayna al-tarafain, that there must be a mutual agreement between both parties. And the second condition, yakuna al-aqidu ja'iza al-tasarruf. And the second one is that the one who's making the contract, the buyer or the seller, he must be considered lawful and allowed to deal in contracts. He must be considered lawful and allowed, permissible, to make contracts and dealings. And again, each one of these, they will come inshallah in detail. The third condition, أن تكون العين المبيعة مباحة النفع من غير حاجة. تكون العين المبيعة مباحة النفع من غير حاجة. And the third one is that the item that is for sale must be something that is allowed to benefit from. It's something that is lawful and allowed to benefit from without any special need. Yani that it's lawful and allowed to benefit from in every circumstance. And the fourth condition, أن يكون المبيع ملكا للبائع أو مأذونا له فيه وقت العقد. And the fourth condition is that the item for sale must be in the ownership, complete ownership of the seller,
or he must be allowed to sell it and to deal with it at the time of the contract. The fourth one is that the item for sale must be in the complete ownership of the seller, or he must have the permission from the original owner to sell it at the time of the contract. Number five, al-qudratu ala taslimihi. Al-qudratu ala taslimihi. The person, he must have the full ability to deliver the item, meaning to hand it over. He must have the full ability to deliver the item for sale, meaning to hand it over, to be able to hand it over. The sixth condition, in yakuna al-maqudu alayhi ma'luman min kullin min al-aqidaini biru'yatihi wa mushahadatihi 'inda al-aqdi aw bi wasfihi wasfan yumayyizuhu 'an ghayrihi. And the sixth condition is that the item that's for sale must be known by both parties, the buyer and the seller. It must be known by both parties, meaning they must see it and must witness it at the time of the contract, or it must be described to them in a manner that distinguishes it from something else. And if it's not seen and present, then it must be described in a manner that would remove any ambiguities and remove any confusion from the item, confusing it with another item. And the seventh condition, أن يكون الثمن معلوما بتحديد سعر المبيع ومعرفة قيمتها. That the price or the cost, that must be known by setting the price of the item properly, and it must be known the value of that item, and the value of that item must be known. So the first condition, and from the greatest condition, التراضي بين الطرفين. التراضي يعني من البائع والمشتري. التراضي is from الرضا. الرضا means the person he's pleased and he's satisfied. He accepts something and he's pleased with that. So التراضي it means a mutual consent, a mutual agreement. A mutual consent, a mutual agreement for the contract and for the business, and if that they agree, the one selling and the one buying, they come to a mutual agreement about what they're selling and how much they're selling it for, and they agree upon that. So this is from the greatest conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِنْكُمْ. All you who believe, do not eat each other's wealth up unlawfully, and do not take each other's wealth unlawfully. This is something that's forbidden because of the oppression and the injustice that occurs there, taking each other's wealth unlawfully and without right. And then Allah, he says, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِنْكُمْ, except whenever there is business, a business transaction that occurs according to mutual consent. So this is a condition that is set for the exchange of wealth and for the commerce and the business to be proper. There must be a mutual consent between both parties. There must be a mutual consent between both parties. إِلَّا تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِنْكُمْ, that except whenever there is business that is based upon mutual agreement. Mutual agreement, meaning this business occurs and this contract occurs based upon mutual agreement. It's been connected by Ibn Majah from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ عَنْ تَرَاضٍ. إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ عَنْ تَرَاضٍ. That buying and selling is only by way of mutual consent. Is only by way of mutual consent. So therefore, this is from the greatest condition, because here in these evidences is clarified that the contract of buying and selling is only by way of taraldin, is only by way of taraldin. Somebody's talking.
From outside.
From outside.
I heard the voice.
So, except, what is it? إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ. And the masjid is really big. So there's no excuse. We got this room there and this room there. Anybody who needs to talk, they can go in the other room. Barakallahu fikum. Jazakum Allah khairah. Or the other room here, the other room there. Jazakum Allah khairah. إنما البيع عن تراض. So buying and selling is only by way of mutual consent. So this is any حصر, any meaning that the issue of buying and selling is restricted to this affair here, that it must be upon mutual consent, upon mutual consent. But there are conditions here. There are conditions here. Any meaning mutual consent that is within the legislation. So someone could not, for example, agree and have mutual consent with somebody to sell alcohol and say this is permissible. نَتَرَاضَ عَلَى هَذَا. لَا, you can't, because selling alcohol is forbidden. Selling alcohol is forbidden. So there, just because they agree upon it and they have mutual consent doesn't necessarily mean that it's lawful, but this is from the greatest conditions. This is from the greatest conditions, from the greatest conditions. So this is one of them. This is one of them, that the buyer and the seller, they must come to a mutual agreement about what is being sold and the cost for that thing, along with other conditions. From the other conditions, we have seen that that which is being sold, it must be lawful to benefit from. It must be lawful to benefit from. So this is a great condition. A person could not be forced to sell something he does not want to. And if he were to be forced to sell something he did not want to sell, then the contract would not be considered correct and would not be a lawful contract. It would be invalid. It would be invalid and considered an injustice. So from here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned based upon this condition, the condition of التراضي بين الطرفين, فلا يصح من مكره بغير حق. فلا يصح يعني البيع من مكره بغير حق. That the buying and selling, buying business contract is not proper. It's not valid. It's not valid whenever it's not valid from a person who's coerced without right. From a person who's coerced without right. And you would listen to the way the people of knowledge speak. They speak any precisely. That buying and selling, the contract of business, is not valid from one who's coerced without right. Meaning that there could be someone who is coerced with right and the contract would be valid. Right? Al-Ikrah. It means somebody's coerced, meaning somebody is forced beyond his own will. He's forced beyond his own will. So the origin being coerced into the mukrah, or the one who is forced beyond his own will to sell his property or to give up his wealth, the origin here is that the contract is invalid. It's invalid, and this is not lawful because this is an injustice. Because this is an injustice. But if there are a person who had debts, for example, and he had taken advantage of others, and he had wealth in his, and he had wealth in his possession, and he refused to pay back his debts, then the Muslim judge, if he's taken to court, has the right to hold his assets and to force him to sell some of his assets in order to pay back the debts that he owes. So now he's paying back those debts out of coercion, but this is in right and not in oppression. This is in right. An act of justice and not in an act of injustice. We understand? So if somebody, for example, he owes people and he's taking advantage of people and he's not paying them back and he has assets and he has wealth and he refused to pay back the debts that he owes, if he's taken to the Muslim court and the judge finds him to be guilty, the judge can make hajr on him and can for the bank account? See, he can freeze the bank account. He can freeze his access to his own wealth, and he can force him to sell property that he owns or give up a portion of his wealth until the debts are owed. And this is in order for those people to get their rights back, because he's forbidding them from their rights and he's oppressing them and doing them injustice by not giving them their rights back whenever he has the assets and the wealth to do that. So here he's forced to sell something by the Muslim judge, but this is in right. So the point is that the issue of buying and selling, it must be according to mutual consent. According to mutual consent. And if someone were forced or coerced to sell his property or give up his money against his own will, then it would not be considered valid. The contract would not be considered valid, except in the case of one who is coerced in right. Except for in the case of the one who is coerced in right. So this is from the the issues here with regards to this, the condition of at-taradhi, the condition of at-taradhi. Anybody have any questions? At-tarafain, at-taradhi, bayna at-tarafain. Man huma at-tarafain? البائع والمشتري. نعم الطرفين يعني الطرفان هما البائع والمشتري المتعاقدان. نعم. So the issue of al-ikrah, coercion, it comes into a number of chapters in fiqh and in the chapters of fiqh. From that in divorce, for example, al-ikrah means coercion. That means when somebody is forced to do something he does not want to do. He's forced to do something beyond his will. He does not want to do it. He does not want to do it. He's forced to do or say something he does not want to do, but he's coerced and forced beyond his will. For example, with regards to divorce, maybe someone, he loves his wife and does not want to divorce her, but someone put a gun to his head and said, divorce her. I said, divorce her. So he says, hiya taliq. She's divorced. She's divorced. So here, divorce will not happen. The statement, divorce, and she's divorced, it's not considered. Why? Because he's coerced. Because he's coerced and he did not mean it. He did not divorce her because he wanted to. Rather, he only said that because someone put a pistol to his head. Same thing, for example, in creed. If someone put a gun to someone's head, waliyadhi billah, and said, say a statement of disbelief. Say a statement of disbelief. It's allowed for him at this time to make a statement of disbelief because the pistol is at his head. With the condition, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَا وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, except for the one who is coerced while his heart is content with sincere faith. Content with sincere faith. So it's allowed for a person to make a statement of disbelief if his life is in jeopardy and he's coerced beyond his will. And he's coerced beyond his will. So if it's allowed to make a statement of disbelief, then it's allowed to divorce one's wife likewise, and out of coercion, whenever one he's afraid for his life. And likewise to sell one's property as well. To sell one's property as well. He can sell his property, but it doesn't count. It's not valid. Someone put a gun to his head and said, sell me your car. Sell me your house. You're going to sell me this property. You're going to sell me this land right here. And he put a gun to his head threatening him. Sell me the land here or I will pull the trigger. Like this. Some people, they do the likes of these affairs. So if he agreed, I sell it to you. Like this. This contract here is not valid. This contract here is not valid. It's not valid. So it's allowed for a person to make a statement of disbelief or a statement of divorce or even to sell his property out of coercion, but that issue is not valid. It's not valid. It's not taken into account for that statement, and that divorce is not considered, and that contract is invalid. It's invalid. So all of this is to clarify the condition of at-taradhi. At-taradhi bayna at-tarafain, that there must be an agreement, a mutual consent between both parties, and there are other conditions as well with regards to this. Also, it has been collected by Ibn Majah from the hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ, that indeed Allah, He has pardoned my ummah from their mistakes and that which happens out of forgetfulness and that which they're coerced to do. And that which they're coerced or forced to do beyond their will. So this was the case here, the one who is coerced unrightfully. As for the one who's coerced rightfully, then the legislation considers the rights of others and considers the circumstances. And if a person, he is withholding the rights of others while he is able, and he's oppressing them in this manner, then in certain circumstances, the legislation has placed the Muslim judge in charge of that person's wealth, and he will take place of this condition, and he meaning that this condition will fall off in his right, and it will be in the hands of the Muslim judge. And if his wealth is sold or his property is taken without his permission or without his consentment, then if it's done in right in a Muslim court for this proper and correct reason, then it's considered lawful and correct. And the example that we had mentioned before for the one who had a debt is standing. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise, if two people, they came into ownership over our property, but the property is too small to divide. The property is too small to actually divide it between the two of them. So one of them wants to sell the property, and the other one he refuses. But it's not possible for both of them to benefit from the property or to split the property. So the second one who refuses will be forced by the Muslim judge to sell that, so that justice is established. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.